Why did Google buy Fitbit? For the data, dude. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Google has announced plans to buy Fitbit for more than $2 billion, and make no mistake, it is not for the wristbands. Google has been working on products related to health and medicine for years. Last year, it announced an effort to use artificial intelligence to scan electronic health records, known as EHRs, and then make predictions about what might happen with hospitalized patients. Recently, there has also been a push in the medical field around something called social determinants of health. That means how your location or income or education or your commute can also have a big impact on your health. Kirsten Auster is director of the Medical Futures Lab and the Medical Humanities Program at Rice University. She says for Google, Fitbit's trove of data is all about social determinants.
The kinds of data that big tech companies like Google have are data that they see as and that they're trying to frame as potentially giving insight into the social determinants of health, because GPS data, for instance, on where we go and where we spend our time or our shopping habits, those can say a lot about our day-to-day lives. And that kind of information is seen as potentially very influential in shaping what goes on in medical contexts.
Can you give me an example of, you know, how might Google take data from a Fitbit, integrate that with a larger sort of medical profile, and use it to come up with some sort of outcome or analysis?
Yeah, so Fitbits have already been incorporated into a lot of corporate wellness programs. So you could have Fitbit data saying, you know, you're not actually moving that much. And Google could vector that through a future EHR that says, wait a minute, this person in not moving very much is being non-compliant in relation to the advice of their physician. And therefore, we expect that they will also not follow all of the guidance we give them in these various directions, which means that they're going to be a higher health risk, and therefore they're going to cost us more. So perhaps we need to charge them more.
And are there any rules right now about how that data gets used, since it isn't specifically medical data that might be covered under something like HIPAA?
Well, no. And that's actually the big loophole that a lot of the big tech companies are actively exploiting. There's really no data privacy regulation that governs Google's or Amazon's or Facebook's or any of the big tech companies' use of data that is not defined as medical, and especially when it involves companies that are not defined as covered entities. So really, they can do anything they want with that data, and there's no law to stop them.
But Google doesn't currently operate in the business of electronic health records, do they?
Well, not quite yet. They did develop a consumer-facing electronic health record about 11 years ago, and that effort did not really succeed, and it was closed. But they filed a patent a couple of years ago for a new electronic health record that they're actively developing, and they're doing research with healthcare systems right now to utilize their artificial intelligence that they've developed on electronic health records in order to show how they could bring together health data from outside of clinical settings with medical data from electronic health records to produce new kinds of insights that you couldn't get from the electronic health record alone. So although they do not have a commercial product right now, they have filed the patent, and in fact, they've been sued on the basis of the research they've conducted because of the moves that it's making into producing these new kinds of electronic health records. So it seems pretty clear that that's a major direction they're going in.
Right. And then there is other competition in that direction in the tech space, right?
For electronic health records?
For this idea of electronic health records and integrating social data? Like, who would be Google's competition for a product like that should they introduce it down the road?
Well, I mean, Amazon, for example, is developing technology to mine the free text in electronic health records as well. Facebook just introduced a preventive health tool, and they are also working on artificial intelligence. So many of these companies, they may all have a slightly different angle, but the key practice is developing artificial intelligence tools that can mine different kinds of data sets for the purpose of medical analysis. So Microsoft is doing this too, and there are many variations on the approach of producing an electronic health record, some inside healthcare, some outside, some in more consumer-facing spaces like pharmacies, like CVS and Walgreens.
I feel like this data gets treated as very benign still, even though, you know, there's sort of a minor awareness or increase in awareness that this is a valuable treasure trove. But even the coverage of kind of, you know, this acquisition of Fitbit didn't seem to get at this sort of larger implication. And I wonder, do you see regulators starting to look through this lens at this kind of health data, since this is such a growing field?
Well, yes and no. I mean, regulators are certainly looking at big tech through the lens of the monopoly question. But for example, even with Facebook, there have been complaints filed with the FTC about the ways that Facebook violated user privacy. And one of those complaints was specifically about health data privacy. And in the ruling this past summer, when the FTC gave Facebook a huge fine, they actually completely ignored the health implications. So they really responded in terms of privacy more than in terms of implications for health and medicine and the kind of unique sensitivity of that kind of data. So I would say that there really hasn't been anything like the kind of attention that this sort of activity deserves by regulators so far.
Kirsten Oster is director of the Medical Futures Lab at Rice University. Google has said it won't sell Fitbit's health data or use it for advertising. The company also said Fitbit users would be able to delete their data. And now for some related links. There is a lot more reading on this topic over at our website, marketplacetech.org, including a reminder that Google actually introduced its own electronic health records product called Google Health back in 2008. It never took off, and Google killed it in 2011. Toward the end, Google Health had shifted its focus from just offering access to personal health records to tracking daily physical activity and health-related goals in partnership with some wearables companies. Google introduced its own fitness tracking app in 2014. And you heard Kirsten Oster mention corporate wellness programs. Business Insider had a piece Monday about how Fitbit lets Google walk right into the employee benefits market, which is huge. It affects about 160 million Americans who get health insurance through work. The piece points out that, yes, better data and even better health predictions could actually have a huge impact on employer costs, insurance company costs, and maybe even patient health. But as the piece notes, Google has had a, quote, rocky history with health data privacy standards. And so consumers and regulators have to trust that the data won't be abused before they're ready to swallow the medicine. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.